This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:06, Monday, the 18th of July, and you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, together with Philip C. And as usual, in about 30 minutes, we'll be discussing where all markets are heading in the second half of the year. But let's recap how global markets closed last Friday.
U.S. markets closed last week on a high. The Dow was up 2.2%, S&P 500 up 1.9%, and Nasdaq was also up 1.8%. But Asian markets were closed mixed. The Nikkei was up 0.5%, STI was up 0.3%, but Hang Seng down 2.2%, Shanghai Composite also negative at minus 1.6%, and back home FBM KLCI was down 0.1%.
So joining us for some analysis on what's ahead for global markets this week, we speak to Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global in Canberra. Good morning, Kingsley. Always good to speak to you. Let's start with U.S. banks, which have started releasing results. So far, we've seen J.P. Morgan reporting lower earnings, while Citibank surprised by being on the upside. Now, I want to know, what do you think these results are telling us about the state of the global economy and even the financial health of consumers, especially in America?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think what you've noticed there in terms of the different performance of the banks is maybe key. Going into this reporting season, I think a lot of investors were expecting the U.S. financials to be universally posting poorer results, but that's not what's happened. And I think it speaks to the different business mix across J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Bank of America, Wells Fargo and others. In particular, with U.S. consumers still being relatively strong, even though sentiment is being deteriorating, I think that's a function of a pretty good employment condition still in the United States, notwithstanding, obviously, the pressure of inflation. So, look, I think the net of all this is that U.S. financials seem to be having a better reporting season than many expected. And indeed, last week, we saw certain of those banks like Bank of America had a very good day on Friday. I think it was up about 7%. So it's a mixed story, but a good mixed story in the sense that we're seeing some upside here in the banks. So if we go over to Asia, I think there's a couple of things to notice here. Firstly, the Asian banking cycle is quite different from the US one. What we have, of course, in the United States is tightening conditions, whereas tightening financial conditions, whereas in Japan and elsewhere, they've been pretty loose. And therefore, we shouldn't expect that the Asian banks are going to just slavishly follow what happens in the United States. And in particular, in places like Australia, whereas there's a market connection over days and periods of days, where if the US market goes down, the Australian market goes down, it's not the case over weeks and months. And so I think in Australia, you're seeing the Australian banks were very weak as soon as the Reserve Bank started raising rates, but they seem to have found a floor now because valuations aren't too bad. Property prices are falling, and that's the big risk in Australia. But apart from that, I think there's a lot of value in the Australian banks, and so we'll probably see things stabilize. And indeed, if the US has a good financial reporting season here, we might even see banks around the region rally just in sympathy with that.
So as you can say for banks in the US, a big distinction between those that are pivoted towards Wall Street versus Main Street, those with investment banking divisions doing a bit less than those who have exposure to more Main Street retail kind of positioning. What's your expectation on quarter two earnings then for US companies going forward?
I think that the really big risk here concerns whether we see that US consumer start to pull back from expenditure. And therefore, I think we need to watch the retail stocks. You'll probably recall in the previous reporting season, Target and Walmart both delivered big, negative surprises, if you will, on building inventories. And similarly with Amazon. So I would say maybe the big one in this reporting season is going to be Amazon. And, last time I think it was about a 12% intraday fall when they reported. And the stock has since stabilized at lower levels. But if we see Amazon report another negative result, I think you're going to see the consumer sector generally quite weak. And then we would see perhaps this bear market sort itself out into, those areas of the market that really probably should be sold down further and those areas of the market where we might start to see some rallies.
Kingsley, help us get a sense on whether you think the Street has been realistic about the earnings expectations for this result season. Do you see analysts after this, cutting their numbers more aggressively in terms of targets? And then what do you think?
I think you put your finger on the big one there. What normally happens in a bear market is that analysts are slow to fess up to the worsening conditions. So they hold their numbers until they receive guidance from management that, in fact, they really need to lower them.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's expecting that analysts are too high in a range of areas and therefore the numbers need to come down. But you probably won't see that until we've actually had, the bulk of the reporting season by sector. And then analysts will cut. So we're fully expecting that. And I guess that's what I'm alluding to regarding some of the consumer stocks. I would think those numbers are probably still a bit high. In other areas of the economy, you may find actually that some of the commodity-related stocks that were marked down heavily actually start to recover a little bit because we think that conditions are still relatively good, particularly in the energy sector. So I think it'll be a very interesting reporting season from that point of view. And we may see, as I said earlier, this bear market begin to take on a different character. We need, obviously, in every bear market, it leads out of the bear market into a new bull market. And we'll be looking closely at where earnings are more robust and where the structural trends more durable to find out what the character of the new bull market may be when it comes. And I don't think it'll come soon. It'll probably come in 2023.
So you say that consumers are going to be facing a bit of a challenge here, the consumer stocks, but many expect the upcoming recession to be more a technical recession, but a recession that perhaps has kind of nearly close to full employment. Doesn't that kind of provide a bit of wind and support for consumer retail in the midterm?
Yeah, it definitely does. But I guess what I'm highlighting here is, let's just dig into it a little bit with the reports from Target and others, particularly Target in the last reporting season. And what they were basically saying was because of the very good conditions in consumer land with the stimulus checks and the recovery and so on post-pandemic, or at least the first wave of it, they were just ordering like crazy to bring stocks of things like patio tables and all kinds of outdoor furniture and things like that, the consumers in the US were just lapping up. Now they've pulled back. So what's happening here, as you point out, is most likely a technical recession where we see two negative prints on GDP in the US, but not rising unemployment, coupled with what really is a bit of an inventory pileup of the wrong product in the consumer pipeline, in consumer inventories. And so therefore they're going to need to have a fire sale and really discount heavily, which provides a big hit to earnings. And the problem with that is that the markets are likely to shoot first and ask questions later when you see that happen. And that leads to a bit of an air pocket where the market takes another leg down. And I guess that's what we're really trying to say here. Don't be surprised if August, September, October is a bit of a horror month for markets in the United States, but probably starting to be much more differentiated in terms of which stocks go down and which ones hold up.
Okay. Kingsley, I want to bring the conversation closer to this part of the world, and that's China. They reported second quarter GDP numbers 1.2%, slightly below expectations. Even the CSI 300 has declined by 6% from the highs, which we saw very recently, albeit still up 12% from the April lows. Do you think there's still more upside, or do you think markets are being a bit nervous about where China is heading?
I think it's probably the second factor. And, here you have, if you will, a perfect storm, but it might be a short-lived storm regarding what I mentioned happening in the US with those dynamics, what's happening, obviously, in Europe with weak conditions there and the ongoing war, and what's likely to happen in China in the lead-up to, this important meeting where Xi Jinping, is looking to be, approved, shall we say, once again, to be leader. So, in that situation, you've got the COVID restrictions in China are really providing a big drag on sentiment because markets are just not prepared to look through that and see what might happen on the other side. So I think, Chinese markets are likely to be weak now. You're seeing that already play out in the Australian iron ore stocks like BHP and Rio, which are well off their highs, notwithstanding they're likely to have a good reporting season in terms of dividends. And therefore, I do think this is going to be an air pocket quarter. Hang on to your hat because we could see lower lows. But I think it's important for investors to be prepared to step into these markets and buy particularly in the areas where we see structural strength. And I think that's the key. And we don't know exactly what that is yet, but that's why this US reporting season is so important. And, you know, I would say there's a bit of a positive already in that the US banks were differentiated in their reporting results, some doing better than others.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, asking us to wear our safety belts, seat belts, because they're going to be air pockets out there with a lot of turbulence.
And time to also accumulate on patio furniture.
Yeah, because the retailers have to cut their inventory, right? So you might get a cheap sale. But a little bit of good news, because it does look like the American consumer isn't in that bad a shape.
It remains robust, but the question here, whether that's transcended everywhere and across the board.
Yeah.
I think in Asia, that's a big question, right? You know, EM markets, really so much pressure. Europe, oh my goodness, right? That's not a technical recession by any stretch of anyone's imagination.
And that is also causing the IMF. They are going to cut their global economic growth outlook substantially in its next update after, as finance ministers actually struggle with fewer options to address the worsening risk. I think this is news that has just come out. I want to know what that figure is, because even before the war in Ukraine, the IMF already downgraded the outlook for the global expansion this year from 4.4% to 3.6%. How much lower are we going to get?
And I think the question is, how dispersed is that growth and that decline in growth taking place? I think the worry is that we really don't want to see another repeat of the Asian financial crisis, although people have said it's not likely to happen, but I don't know, there's reverberations happening everywhere.
Or even the crisis we saw in 2018, right? Mm. But up next, we're beginning to be discussing the upcoming healthcare-related legislation, that will be tabled in this month's parliamentary sitting. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.